Your countdown clock has now terminated function. Your time is up. Your time is up. Your time is up.
Right now, having a national security scare is actually good political news for the president and the White House and the Republican Party.
Morning, you are being monitored by CCTV.
But the problem today is that the situation is so large and so all-encompassing that whatever is going to happen, the whole world is going to feel it. Everything. Everyone's going to feel this one.
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Illuminating Radio. Alex Ansari. Outside the Box.
Welcome to Planet Earth, your very own insane asylum, and you're right in it. I'm Alex Ansari. I'll be with you for the next 2 hours right here on We the People Radio Network. Open lines tonight, 512-646-1984. Pull up alexansari.com, and we have some breaking news for you to take a look at. You can also check out blacklistednews.com. It's another great source for information. And the information, the news that's breaking, hitting us in waves, and to a certain degree, you kind of got to wear a helmet and keep yourself strapped in, put a seatbelt on, because it's a lot to deal with. And a lot of people are reacting by shutting down completely. We here got to take a look at the big picture, look at the economic situation, the situation in Russia, the surveillance apparatus, and the expansion of globalization. And tonight we have some new headlines, major changes in Wall Street. Two major pillars in Wall Street falling down just like the towers. Another inside job, perhaps. We have we see Goldman Sachs plunging 70% after some of the recent news pertaining to Lehman Brothers and Merrill Lynch being purchased by Bank of America. Well, let's go over this report first, though, written by Paul Joseph Watson. Headline reading, Run on the Bank. Americans could actually lose their deposits with the credit crisis that we have right now. In all the news that we have about the banks failing, a lot of people aren't entirely concerned about their deposits and the availability of their funds and the reliability of ATMs in the future. This is something that I've been concerned about most of my life. Later on, when I learned about economics and what was going on, and you know, of course, 9/11 and some of the other things, then it began to make sense why I felt like our economic system was so volatile, so strange, so bizarre, so machine-like, so artificial. So again, you know, the Federal Reserve, privately founded in the year 1913, isn't being dismantled, or you know, Ron Paul isn't appearing on MSNBC giving his take on the situation, because they already know what his take is and his position on the Federal Reserve, which now is being given more power instead of less power. But Paul Joseph Watson writes that, you know, things are really bad when Yahoo.com, the most trafficked website in the world, and usually a purveyor of mindless celebrity gossip, cooking tips, and dating advice. I know what he's talking about there. I see the same thing when I bring up Hotmail.com and check my email. You know things are bad when it features the top story about how Americans could lose their bank deposits following the collapse of Lehman Brothers. For the internet giant to prominently report that there was already a slow motion run on the banks is indeed a landmark event and precludes even the most ignorant American from claiming they were not forewarned about the unfolding economic catastrophe. He points out that there are articles coming out showing that although the FDIC guarantees individual accounts up to $100,000, the FDIC fund only has about $50 billion to insure about what's estimated to be about $1 trillion in assets across the nation's financial institutions. Now, this is something that we're all aware of, but now it's pretty much breaking in the mainstream as I speak. By the time I get up tomorrow, there'll be a whole new plethora of economic news for me to catch up on. He continues, when Americans realize the fact that banks are going to run out of money, a run on the banks will accelerate. The warning comes from a top economist, Noel Robini of NYU Stern School and RGE Monitor, who correctly predicted the severity of the credit crunch. He advises that people with accounts over $100,000 in value should at least spread them out among different firms. And we also saw what happened in Encino, California at IndyMac. And so it's a inevitable reality to a certain degree. In another headline, and we'll go over Lehman Brothers at this time, Lehman Brothers files for bankruptcy. We're reading now from the BBC. It says that Wall Street bank Lehman Brothers has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. Rival Merrill Lynch has sought refuge by selling itself to Bank of America. I thought Bank of America was already bailed out earlier this year, and the taxpayers were going to have to take care of that. With the government takeover of Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, it also proves that they don't regulate the market. They are the market to a certain degree. And this type of situation also happened back in the 80s. So they may have been the market the entire time. So it seems, especially when we investigate the Federal Reserve and the blackout on getting that information out during the debates. It all seems to be a dangerous scenario that we're in, where we're going to have to pay for a very, very long time. We don't see the end of this debt. And it appears to be all by design, so we end up in the end enslaved. But the slaves around us are having their hair groomed and pet by the globalists, their hair being stroked, caressed, touched, and romantically kissed on the side of their cheeks, being given another genetically modified burrito or another disinfotainment bizarre reality TV spectacle or gladiator show, perhaps the UFC. Or perhaps it's American Idol. Who knows what it is today? It changes day to day. It was the Olympics yesterday. People were raving about the tear they were seeing on Jericho and all these other disaster films and films promoting torture like 24 a couple of years ago. It may not be as popular today. They'll just replace it with something else. It always changes. You can even go back to the Airwolf program. I'm sure some of you have heard the Airwolf theme once or twice. Airwolf, another promotional film for the Black Helicopters, which really became more widespread. They were seen a lot more in the 1980s in certain parts of New Mexico, Arizona, a lot of different areas, California, even Oregon. Now, again, the Black Helicopters that appeared in Portland a couple weeks ago, the MH-6, these were different. These weren't Apache choppers. These were MH-6 choppers meant for the urban environment to get in real quick and to get out real quick and to carry guys on both sides with M16 machine guns to quickly get on top of a building. But the downside of using choppers like that is they're very fragile. And so, again, we're seeing all different types of military technologies being phased into our cities. I'm concerned about the people out there that don't know about this yet, that aren't awake because they don't today see the necessity to be aware in any way, shape, or form, and to just pull yourself back from the party for just a minute. Now, we have what appears to be a phone call here, at least on the screener page. Cutie in Michigan, we're going to see if she's still there. Are you there, Cutie?
I'm still here. Hello?
Yeah, you're on. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I actually tried getting in touch earlier, you know, but before he left, because there was something I wanted to find out on the spelling of that. I think it was Bayon versus U.S., Bayou.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, I can't help you there. We're already into a different show. And I wasn't really sure who was on before me. We just pretty much pop in at our designated time here. So
I was in and out and kind of got quiet. So I kind of had a couple of thoughts. We've got the same thing that, you know, judges operating without an oath of office and all that kind of stuff that he was talking about.
Well, you know, the good thing about what the network you're listening to is we can take phone calls most of the time, and, you know, there's a lot of people that can't get in on some of the other shows. So if you call in tomorrow to that show, it's likely you'll be able to get back on. So just sure. Go ahead and check the WTPRN schedule page. Yeah, go ahead and take a look at the WTPRN archives. Just go up to the front page, and there'll be some information for you there. I want to thank you for calling in. We're going to talk to David in New York, and we also have some information on Russia. I have seen Zero, the investigation into 9/11, the film they played on September 11th to 30 million viewers. So we can talk about that if you like. and also the latest developments in Georgia. I understand that Chavez is going to be going to Russia next week. All right, David in New York, how you doing?
Good evening. I was trying to reach Tony. He's not in the studio any longer.
No, we do these shows remotely from our places of residence throughout the U.S., so we're not all centrally located.
Oh, I thought Tony was running the switchboard there. You're not running the switchboard either?
David, I'm going to have to put you on hold. Let me explain how this works, guys. There are a whole bunch of shows on WTPRN, and there are different slots. We don't do them from the same station, so I'm doing my show in Portland. There's no one else in the same city. And so the guy who's switching, his name's Dan. And so Tony must have been someone who was on the air. So if you guys want to go to the front page of WTPRN, you can find out when that guy's going to be on next. And then you'll probably be able to get a hold of him. Just call back tomorrow. Jerry in Texas, how you doing?
Good evening. How's your day?
It's going well.
I'd like you to be aware of what I've learned in law, and I filed on in a court case. I'm awaiting decision. For all of your listeners to be very well aware of the difference between civil liberties and civil rights, go to the law library, get Corpus Juris Secundum, and study that and understand. Civil liberties are the rights granted by God in the Bill of Rights. Civil rights are under the 14th Amendment, structured in legislation, in other words, granted and taken away by Congress. If you want your civil liberties back, you have to get a sufficient statement and get free of it, regain civil liberties. I've heard there are a couple other ways to get free. So what they're doing is they're acting and enacting these things over civil rights. They cannot touch or trespass civil liberties still, and martial law will not give them legal grounds to trespass civil liberties. You have a wonderful night, sir.
Well said. Thank you for calling in and making that statement. We need to remember those things, and it does seem very overwhelming because a lot of people don't know what the U.S. Constitution actually says and don't see the relevance of it. Hopefully in the very near future they will. And a lot of people are already starting to ask questions as to what's really going on. And we're seeing a big shakeup even in our own military. People stepping down, people being replaced. But it's still simply just another rotation of the guard. Simply the same thing that you're seeing when you see one anchor step down, another step in his place. So they're getting ready for something regardless of what the U.S. Constitution says. And that's what frightens me. How many people I know in my age group that, you know, aren't concerned with those things? They don't see the relevance. The beer's still flowing. The beer's still here. The smokes are still here. Pizza's still being baked. You know, what's there to worry about? But I'm concerned about the situation with Russia that's erupting that a lot of people still haven't heard about. Russia's now saying that South Ossetia was our 9/11. So the attack on 888 was the equivalent of the September 11th attacks on the United States on September 11, 2001. And so we have a movie out being played to 30 million viewers called Zero, an investigation into 9/11. And I begin to get a little bit suspicious about their intentions. Because the international world, a lot of people outside of the U.S. do question the official story of 9/11. And for them to put it on a network and not tell the full story, but just tell part of the story, kind of omit the part about Russia helping the U.S. invade Afghanistan in the months, the days, weeks prior to 9/11 in Uzbekistan, all that preparation, all those drills that were taking place in the summer, let's just go ahead and omit that and just make it a Bush thing. And that's how this will be remembered. Now, do you think that they're going to have some sort of compassion for the American people that are living in this nightmarish police state? You guys allow this to go on. You guys allow this guy to continue to attack the rest of the world without doing anything about it? That's how they're going to frame this. Now, we all know that we've been conned and we live in somewhat of a dictatorship, similar to the people in Russia and China. But they're not going to look at it like that. And that's my warning to you. That's what I see happening here. And that's their intention behind their so-called 9/11 truth on Russia today. And there's more. They're in New York covering the 9/11 truth movement. I saw some people that I knew in that video. But they're framing it the way that they want to frame it, under the guise of being objective. And so I'm wary of that. And I know some others are as well. John in Florida, how are you tonight?
Very well. How are you, sir?
Doing well.
All right. Thank you for having me on. I just wanted to kind of propose this to you, this idea that I kind of came to me regarding the Federal Reserve's bailout and I don't really understand what happened to Indy Mac, and maybe you can comment on that, but when it comes to Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, right? So the government bailed them out, and in essence, these companies have been nationalized and are now run or owned by the federal government. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes, you got it. And how is that free market? That's the question. How is that a free market system when things like this are going on and the banks aren't collapsing and allowing someone else to rise up and have their shot at, playing a part in a new economic system different than the one we have right now? No, they're being set aside. They're being maintained. They're not letting this current economic system go by the wayside. But people are still losing money in the process.
Right, and let's take that a step further then. If the U.S. government now basically has the mortgage, holds the mortgage, and therefore holds the deed or the title to the home, I guess it would be the deed, it would seem in that case that it is then their property as it used to be the bank's property.
Yeah, we have a break coming up. I also want to add that Wall Street went up as a result of this. A lot of people are partying. They seem they could still party on Daddy's credit card and pretend that nothing's gone wrong. All right, John, we'll continue with you right after this break.
Online and on demand, this is We the People Radio Network.
Yeah, the economy is doing so well. 300 National Guardsmen out of food and water in Houston. Either that or the government's that disorganized. They don't seem that disorganized. They're focusing the war on terror. But no, this is, has writings of Hurricane Katrina all over it. Not quite, but, I mean, this is ridiculous. 300 National Guardsmen out of food and water in Houston. There's also reports about some buses full of gas sitting idle at the stadium while crews await instructions. A local representative had called for area residents to take food and water to the crews at the stadium, despite official warnings for people to stay off Houston roads. And in another report, back to the crisis in Wall Street in worse law since 2001, despite reassurances by Bush. In another unnerving day for Wall Street, investors suffered their worst losses since 9/11. It goes on and on and on. Trading opened sharply down Monday morning, and the mood later turned even gloomier despite efforts by President Bush and Henry Paulson of the Treasury in separate appearances at the White House to reassure markets that Wall Street's deepening problems would not weaken an already problematic economy. So, I don't know. September's been predicted as a month that the economy is going to crash by a number of people. And I don't want to cry wolf or anything, but we're definitely in kind of somewhat of a danger zone. So I guess let's go back to John and allow him to. Is there anything else you want to add to that?
Well, yeah. I mean, kind of what I was really getting at just as we were going to break is this. You know, if we've got the two largest mortgage holding companies, in the nation to be nationalized and now owned by the government, where those companies used to own hold the deed and of course be the mortgage holder of the homes, what was it? I think I've heard estimates anywhere between 65% to 80% of the homes in the U.S. It would seem that that is now held by the government. Therefore, if they have ownership of the homes and hold the deeds, that the third and fourth amendments of the Constitution would seem to no longer apply as it is now their property. Therefore, they can conduct searches and seizures without warrant on their property, and it would also seem that they would be able to quarter troops in, let's say, the case of martial law or anything of the like, would be able to have troops quartered in the home, and whether it be times of peace or war or civil unrest, because, again, this is their property. Now, I don't know if this issue has been discussed before, but this occurred to me, you know, as soon as I realized what was going on with the takeover of those two companies. What are your comments on that?
I think that's a compelling point. And you look at certain types of subsidized housing that the government provides and how a lot of civil liberties go by the wayside in terms of the Third and Fourth Amendment. And when you look at this situation here, that's a compelling point. And so it deserves an article, I think. But, yeah, I understand where you're coming from. And I think probably more people will be discussing that.
Yeah, I mean, I think this becomes of major importance. I mean, you know, because, I mean, their power is just growing by leaps and bounds through these, you know, seemingly.
Now,
you know,
explain, John, different ways for the audience and myself how a police state would manifest in your home. All the different ways, all the different things they could pull when the ownership of the home changes.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, Jesus, look at. You know, if they do an act, which of course is to, you know, they publicize as being to help us, and now really, if you look at it, they have now inserted themselves to inside the home, and therefore, you know, I mean, I can imagine if there was, and this is from all the things I've read and seen and heard. I mean, I've come to the same conclusion others have, and it's not based on what I've been told, but you know, what I agree with is that. You know, if, you know, 9/11, I mean, inside job, without a doubt, 100%. So, you know, if you look at the fact that since 9/11, which was this, you know, it has been the official government story that is this terrible, you know, act of terrorism that was, you know, perpetrated against the people of the nation because they hate our way of life and freedoms. I mean, what a load of crap. But that's their story. So let's just look at that for a minute and let's just, okay, if people are going to accept that. All right, fine. Those that want to stay asleep and accept it, do so. But consider this. Since that time in 9/11, you have to look at the fact that we have gone over into Iraq, a country we should never be in, and Afghanistan and other places, and we have now intruded upon land of, you know, of whether they're extremists or the simple civilians and residents of those countries. You know, we've come in there and caused a lot of chaos for them. You know, a lot of them didn't even see this coming because, you know, I'm sure they're not plugged into what's going on. And they maybe don't watch Al Jazeera. But we have given them now more reason, assuming that they have come here and done 9/11, which they did not, but let's say they did, we've now given them more reason than ever to come over here and create so much chaos and havoc for us with more bombings, more 9/11s, and it hasn't happened. So when you consider those, you know, those facts, that since 9/11, there has been not a Starbucks. You know, some guy with dynamite strapped to his chest. Nothing. Nothing at all. Not one thing. Not a movie theater blow. Nothing. And so that points to the fact that, wait a minute, you know, why aren't they doing that? I'm not that anybody would want them to. I certainly wouldn't. It's the last thing I would ever want to hear. But, you know, you would think that if they did 9/11, that would be, you know, the first domino of many to come. And that would be their statement to us is like, here we come. And it has not happened. So, therefore, if we look at the fact that they have not been doing anything to us, and there's been no extremists making any efforts to come over here and do anything, you know, I know that there's stories of, you know, the plot to bomb 12 planes coming from Heathrow Airport, you know, over the Atlantic at the same time. I know, but, you know, that was, again, that's a story from the media and what the government says, but I'm not believing anything they tell me at this point, but... My point and what I'm getting at is here is this, is that if we look at the fact that nothing has happened, in order for them to have the people, you know, as they're starting to get awakened and starting to realize what is going on here, that before that starts to take too much momentum, they're going to have another 9/11, right? And it's going to come in some other form. Of course, buildings are not going to fly in the planes. They need to be more creative or more disastrous. And whether that be a small mobile nuclear device in a briefcase or something the size of a copy machine or refrigerator to wipe out half or all the city, that would give them two things. One, unanimous support for the war for the people that are still asleep. And two, it would give them the justification to declare martial law. Therefore, come into our cities and streets, on the streets, and, you know, police any which way they so desire. And then now we come back to the full question of what would they do concerning the Third and Fourth Amendment. Well, you know, well, listen, hey, listen, there's this chaos. We have this you know, this national emergency we've now declared because we're under attack. So we're going to have to put some troops in 10% of the homes in every city, every major metropolitan area there is. Now consider that. Imagine what would happen then. We can't say anything. Most people would go along with it. Those who wouldn't don't have any say-so in the matter, and there need not be any intervention of courts because they own your home.
Right. Well, we have a lot on the table, don't we? So, yeah, in the meantime, and we should be getting prepared, but we can only prepare for so much with all these things on the table. So, like I said, John, and we're going to talk to Mo here in a little bit, but psychological, spiritual, physical survival, all the different categories. We have to be able to deal with a lot of people that are panicking too around us. And that's something that I'm not going to want to have to deal with. But we're all going to have to deal with that. Even if you're on the boonies, you're going to have a lot of city people coming out there. So it's going to be kind of crazy. John, I want to thank you for calling in and wishing your prayers down there in Florida. I think you're in a crazy, a totally insane state.
You're absolutely right, and believe me, by next summer, I'm out of here. But thank you very much for letting me be on the call.
You're welcome. We'll talk to you, Mo, after this. And there's some other news that I have here as well, but we always keep things open for the callers at 512-646-1984 to get your take on what's going on. In terms of Florida, talking about gas gouging, gas prices near $6 a gallon in parts of Florida. That's totally insane. Stories like that are also popping up in Texas. So, anyway, we'll get to that right after this break.
You're listening to We the People Radio Network.
Pure energy.
Pure energy. We the People Radio Network.
The rate is accelerating. The rate at which we're reading these amazing pieces of news is accelerating every single day. More of them popping up several times in a single day. Major headlines. Like I said, gas prices near $6 a gallon in parts of Florida rose to nearly $5.50 a gallon in some parts on Friday, where rumors of a fuel, just rumors of a fuel shortage, spreading across the state, sparking it. Motorists in Tallahassee were lined up to pay this outrageous amount for gas per gallon. The fuel panic swept Gainesville on Thursday, where long gas lines spilled onto a busy thoroughfare. Tempers flared, of course, and the police were called, apparently. A fight broke out at another gas station. Ah, here we go. Tensions in the streets. Street fighting time. And prices in southwest Florida begin creeping up. Ah, maybe time to pull out those guns and start recklessly killing one another. Ah, just wait. The run on gas was prompted by Hurricane Ike and the closing of several large refineries along the Texas-Louisiana coast. Now, the Agricultural and Consumer Service Commissioner, Charles Bronson, says there is no fuel shortage in Florida. There's hundreds of millions of gallons available. He promised to act quickly to tackle any price gougers. And so, like I said, there are stories like that also coming out of Texas. All right, let's talk to Mo in Oregon. How you doing, sir?
Oh, pretty good indeed. Can you hear me loud and clear?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you're on.
So, yeah. I haven't started. Always nice talking to you, and I missed you a few weeks. So, I mean, we both were the very first persons that brought the Washington Mutual situation into the public, and we told the public that they need to get their money out of Washington Mutual and transfer it, or whatever they want to do with it, whether it's cash. Or, I mean, my friend went recently to Washington Mutual and wanted to have some certain cash amount, like $4K, and they said, no, we don't have the $4K. You have to all cash order for you tomorrow, a special order. I mean, that's bullshit. I used to work in the bank, major banks, and I know that we have always the money in the side. We have in the back, in the main vault. I mean, that's not right. So something wrong with Washington Mutual already. So I ask, I plead the people before, like IndyMac, wait in the lines and then a sleepless night and, to keep going there. They say, come back tomorrow. So before it's too late, get your money out of Washington Mutual and because FDIC is looking right now as we are talking, whether Wells Fargo or Bank of America or J.P. Morgan to purchase Washington Mutual, but none of them are said we are not going interested at all. They said we will sell you at a very, very low fee, less than half a percent, 50%, less than 50% of what Washington Mutual
is. I know, it's insane, driven me crazy this whole time was all these different people on TV talking about how people can economically gain from the suffering being experienced by others in the mortgage industry. You know, how someone can invest in this company, this predatory company that's may have been successful by acquiring some other smaller lending companies, mortgage lending companies. Just a lot of selfishness, how other people can, get something from this crisis. Without any heart or any love or any, humanity involved in it. And that's what people are going to be experiencing with, someone just saying, hey, I'm just doing my job. There's just no money here. And then comes security. Then comes enforcement. Then comes the law to, quell dissent. And that's what we're already about to see.
Exactly, indeed. And another top news that Russia is having exercise from 20th of September for 5 days in the Pacific Ocean in the area called Kamchatka, and they're going to use the ballistic missile test from the submarines in the area of Kora, and then they're going to put it into their destination and for 5 days. But I don't see any news of it, any CNN or Fox. Do you know why is that?
There's a lot of stuff not on CNN or Fox, and I have that link up on my website, but the link happens to be broken, so I'll work on fixing that. Anyway, I caught that story, and there's a couple other things going on. Ukraine's government apparently has broken down, we see, again, the Russians talking about the attack being there, 9/11, and so they're going to be using that type of rhetoric from here on out. And, again, they're preparing to base long-range bombers in Cuba and Venezuela at this time. And Chavez is going to be going to Russia soon. The Russians are in Venezuela right now for a drill, and they're probably going to have this drill for the rest of the year. Apparently, they're going to have drills in October, November. So this is going to be a regular thing. We see China popping up on the news. They're allied with Russia. These are just weekly announcements. And Iran. It's getting really insane. Mo, we're going to go to Mark in Houston. Any last comments?
Can I say? Yeah, sure. The United States sold new 1,000 bunker buster super bombs to Israel, and that's creating a new indication that war with Iran is more imminent. I think October surprise is coming. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think a lot of people think that. I don't know. I'm going to be along for the ride regardless. Thanks, Mo. A lot of people are concerned about October. A friend of mine thinks October 6th or 7th is going to be the big day because of I've had the people on from halfpasthuman.com before, and they look at language linguistics on the Internet, and they, believe it or not, try to predict the future from that. And they've predicted big things changing in the past. When certain dates have popped up, when they've ran different pieces of software. Anyway, they've been talking about October 6th or 7th, some sort of a big economic event or other event that's something that causes a lot of panic. So without crying wolf or getting into predictions, we all kind of feel that this fall, right before the election, going during the election, and after the election, is going to be the time where we're going to be facing a lot of unraveling. Although there are people like Bob Chapman that talk about it extending itself for another 2 years. Whether it be now or 2 years, it's still a downhill slope with no end in sight. That we know for sure. Mark in Houston, how are you?
Big guy, I'm sitting in a dark house here in Houston, no power. You look at all the devastation here, it makes you realize just how bad things can get real fast. But anyway, I was enjoying the caller before there. There's a man who sees a lot of the same things I do. I'm a pretty avid listener to Patriotic Radio, so I know too much. And in my opinion, I guess what the point I want to make is that 9/11 is the pinnacle. 9/11, I already understood the power structure. I already understood how they're working slowly, you know, step by step. But 9/11 really woke me up again. And what 9/11 is a statement. We're going to do this right in your face. We're going to do it so obvious. And the statement is that basically we own you and we will do anything. We will go all the way in this game of poker we're playing here. And it's terrifying. And what's really terrifying is that hardly anybody understands anything about this power structure or what's going on. And so I just wanted to share some of my frustration. I sure wish I had my power back.
We're all going through it, Mark. I've been looking at it for 7 years now. It's just amazing. Now, you're in Houston, right?
Yeah, got 5 days with no power. Could have been worse.
Yeah, it could have been worse. In terms of the Ike thing, it says tens of thousands flooding for aid to Houston aid stations. Have you seen some of this stuff?
No, they're messing the whole thing up with bureaucracy, it harkens me back to Katrina, and you look at that was a deliberate operation there to scare the heck out of everybody and pump a lot of emotion into it. You know what I'm
saying?
All right.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. We're going to go ahead and take a brief pause here.
There, so you guys just keep up the good work, okay?
All right, I want to thank you for your call. All right, open lines, guys, 512-646-1984. I don't know where we're going from here. I'll leave that up to you. We'll be back. We're going to begin with this from InThesetimes.com. No jobs make mean streets. As urban economies collapse, gun violence rises. And it goes on to talk about a number of shootings that are increasing, you know, in American cities today. It's going into Chicago and the spikes in crime now. And a lot of us are seeing a lot of problems in Tijuana right now. And all this happened conveniently after Calderon wrestled his way into power through vote fraud down there, and they got about $100 million to fight the cartels, and all of a sudden they have a bloodbath and a real war going on with thousands of people dead. But anyway, this is one of the things that we see, more crime, and it's getting really scary because a lot of people that won't steal today will steal tomorrow. And it becomes a moral issue when people are so obsessed with themselves and how they feel in a crisis situation. If they're not morally sound, whole, have some sorts of some semblance of humanity to them or love, it may not be hard for them to work themselves into a frenzy to attack someone with a baseball bat or a weapon or a knife to get what they want, to basically mug someone. Or to do it with a group of other people, or support some other people doing it where you may not be brave enough to do it yourself. Breaking off into one of those punk, thug, violent tribes. And the report continues as economic prospects worsen. Low-income Americans are getting desperate. Unemployment is chronic. 40% of black males are jobless, and the federal safety net is vanishing. America's big cities have failed to lift their inner-city communities out of poverty. Desperation and violence, another issue that they bring up here in this report, and it goes on, and there are different reports documenting this in different cities, and we all have our own perspective, don't we, on the situation, because we all have our own experiences. I do. You do. Whether you're listening in Texas or Florida or New York or Los Angeles, Seattle, Portland, or if you're out there in the rural environment. Now, it hasn't gotten to the point where my gas tank is being siphoned on a daily basis. It's actually been about 5 years since that happened, after the war started. There were a lot of jobs that were lost in that year, 2003. I was out of work for a period of time. Wasn't easy. Wasn't the greatest of times for me to have my gas siphoned, I also want to add. But you see those things. And you see the desperation. And I already feel it when I look at people walking by me in the street. Make a little bit of eye contact, then look away. Because the reality is, that's threatening. Especially in today's world, where there's so much fear going on, is that who might be the enemy? Who might be someone that's going to hurt you? Because again, we're in a society obsessed with fear. More interested, most of these people, in looking at their cell phone as opposed to another person's eyes, the window to the soul, because they're trying to connect with someone. But they're trying to do it with technology. So they have the iPhone out. And, yeah, you can watch my TV show on the iPhone. Yeah, great. Whoop-de-doo. You can lose yourself in the world of YouTube or the internet as a whole. How does that get us closer to something that's real? Just because it's truthful information, it's still coming through a machine. I think we're becoming too machine-like. Maybe it's not that time's speeding up, but human activity is speeding up out of proportion to the level that nature is vibrating from. Maybe that's where some of the imbalance comes from. There's so many mysteries about this planet, this realm, that I want to know before I'm off this planet. And I welcome your phone calls, but to be honest with you, we need to talk for real about how we view this world, how we really feel about this reality and the future. Because we can talk about civil liberties, and I've spent lots of time going over a lot of political stuff. And 9/11, my God, I mean, just so many shows I've done, like about 30 of them, different people I've interviewed, and different other times I've gone out with a bullhorn, and you get to a point where you're like, what I'm looking at as a person, this my voice, it's just so huge that my perspective has to open up into something even greater than that, even greater than the fear of another 9/11, which is very likely. We all know that. But we're so consumed by how they're hurting us. And people come up to me wanting this beautiful, perfect ABC XYZ solution. Is that how you're going to get out of this mess? I see the life experience as being put in a mess to learn from it, even if you don't see what you perceive to be victory in this world, that there's still a reason why we're going through it, don't you think? I mean, put aside your religious beliefs for just a second, or your lack of spiritual beliefs, or your atheistic beliefs. Just put it all aside for a second. Isn't it just strange? Maybe something a little more than random. We're living in a mathematical matrix. You can prove some of this stuff. You can see the tetrahedron, the symbol of love, the six-sided shape. If you've ever heard of the book Hidden Messages in Water, on the top of DNA. You can see the tetrahedron and other forms of life in the cellular structure. And then you wonder, what designed all this? Can't I actually comprehend it without being religious or dogmatic or believing in this guru or this book? Is it outside the realm of possibility that we're going through all this to learn something big about ourselves? About attachments to old belief systems and the old way of doing things, the old way of relating to one another, the old idea of a family, the old idea of an economic system. This is insane. This is totally insane. I feel so concerned about the people in my city. I mean, I'm concerned about the people on the whole planet. I mean, we talk about all these different stories, but I know where I hang my hat every day and lay my head. I know where I live, and I know what's around me, a whole lot of people that are going to panic in a short span of time. They don't have their pack ready to go. We don't know what we're facing, but I'll tell you, you're living in an age where we're all facing crises of one form or another. I know in my area there's going to be a whole lot more people moving here in the next couple of years as the natural disasters, so-called natural disasters, or maybe man-made disasters, both combined, drive people to the Pacific Northwest to enjoy our so-called sustainable lifestyle. Yeah, sustainable lifestyle. Are you kidding me? It's all image. It's all for show. We have a long, long, long way to go before we're truly sustainable in the city of Portland, Oregon, which lives under a chemtrail haze on almost a daily basis, which is no longer a conspiracy theory when they admit to you that they are re-engineering the planet to a certain degree to fight what they think is causing global warming by pumping sulfur into the atmosphere. This is life today. This is what we breed. And this is a model city. It's a compact city. We're moving closer and closer together, where we fantasize together, many of us in the city, about living somewhere else, having a job somewhere else. We don't have to be in the city to clock in to the machine, to the matrix, to pay our bills. We all want something else, to be in a different situation where we're growing our own food. We are self-sustainable. We are self-sufficient. We have our own water. We have community. We have healthy relationships with men and women that aren't chaotic. We have some form of stability out there. We have fresh air to breathe, trees to interact with, birds to listen to. Maybe some fishing, maybe something real, maybe a place where you can write a book or actually think about your life and deal with what's going on with you. How do you do that in a world where you're sandwiched in between other people also going through really dramatic stuff? That is life in the city. That's the sustainable model. Where we're targets, military targets. Where's Portland on the map? How far is that from China in terms of a military situation? How far is Alaska from Russia? How many Chinese bases are in the proximity of Los Angeles? We should be able to migrate more freely, I think, in the United States. And we don't have the economic freedom to do so. A lot of us are trapped in. And I think that's something that's not articulated in that way enough. And I grew up on 40 acres. And when you're a kid, that's all you know, except for the TV set. It can get a little bit boring. And you can forget to appreciate until something is taken away. And that is pretty much how it works. And people will care when things are taken away and those tears are forced out when they lose something. There's a lot of lessons to be learned in that particular scenario. Also lessons about non-attachment and just being balanced and calm no matter what. Not getting too wrapped up in your emotions, your fears, your desires. Lots of stuff heading our way. Wear a helmet. Put on a seatbelt. There is a storm that's already here, and it's not Hurricane Ike, Gustav, or Hannah. It's a different storm. You know, our president talked about an angel in the whirlwind. Well, they're firing up something powerful now. And on the topic of that, we got CERN ignited on, well, test at least, on September 10th. 2008. Apparently, they're going to light it up full power. Yeah, baby, on October 24th, 2008, in their quest to open up a black hole. Same black hole that can also suck us all up into that particular scientific breakthrough, a man-made black hole. Or maybe it's something else like a Stargate or a portal to a whole different world. If that was in the news tomorrow, do you think, with the world as strange as it is, that I would be surprised?